Welcome to the Truly Pointless Podcast, a podcast whose name truly describes the show you're about to listen to. I'm Stephen Vargas.
And I'm Adam Riley.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our lovely little show. However, before we get to the show, we have some housekeeping.
If you like this show, we have other shows on the Lazy Geeks Network. Our shows vary from geek and pop culture to Star Trek to social commentary. You can find them wherever you get this show.
And if you really dig the slice of heaven, you can help us out in two ways. One, you can leave us a review. This helps our profile and exposes us to more people. Or two, if you really like us, you can donate. Go to thelazygeeks.com and click on our PayPal link to donate.
If you want to hit us up, you can reach out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Lazy Geeks. Or if you're old school, you can email us at thebag@thelazygeeks.com.
And now, now that we got all that shit out of the way, let's get on with the show.
Bitch ass. Fuck, I'm tired, bro. I don't know. You win.
So, I heard this online today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just kind of wanted to... The latest thing that's going on right now.
Okay.
So, I guess this needs to be said, too. All you people that think Biden is the president, you guys cannot get no stupider, okay?
No stupider.
Not in the White House. It's closed down. He is on a movie set. You guys are so freaking ignorant that I just have to laugh because you're not hurting my feelings. Never one time did Trump ever have to fake anything he's done. Not one time. He don't fake shit. Why is Biden faking he's in the White House? Oh, because he's not your president. Wake the fuck up. How dumb can you be? Like, you're so dumb. You're the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Educate yourself, people.
So it's funny that somebody like that tells you to need to educate yourself.
Is she okay?
Yourself. I don't know.
Like, honestly, wellness check that bitch. Like, I'm scared for her. Why does every time I hear a video like that, the it's always a woman.
Right.
I don't know why. And it's always, they always sound drunk.
Well, I'm sure she's. It's probably because she's from the South. I'm
on the Zans, bro. That's what those kids today.
You know, she's part of the same people that say that, you know, oh, well, we don't want socialism. Socialism's bad. You're on Social Security? Uh huh. It's like, you know, that's socialist, right? Trump is the greatest president ever.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot lately. That like Biden's in a movie set in Hollywood. He's not even at the White House because Trump is still there. Motherfuckers, you saw him get on the plane.
I told you yesterday. It's exhausting, bro. Oh no, I wasn't talking. I was talking to somebody else. Like, it's starting to get. I don't think the human psyche is designed to deal with this much stupidity in a daily basis. Like, it's getting. I see it now, and like, I just go, okay. Like, it's starting to physically hurt.
Right.
I'm just done with it. Like, it's people are so fucking retarded, and it's willful too. It's like information's right in front of your face, and it's not just fucking Trump shit. It's the fucking anti-vaxxers. It's the fucking anti-maskers. It's the fucking
any other anti
flat earth fucking people. It's just everybody's an idiot. Like the flat earth people are my perfect example where they keep proving themselves wrong.
Right.
And then you see in the video where it's like their brain skips over that part and then just repeats. Well, it goes back to the beginning.
I look at it as like it's do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that episode of the IT Crowd when Moss couldn't remember stuff and then he got hit and he fell on the floor and then there was that Windows reboot sound.
I do remember.
I keep thinking that's what happens with those people. Like when they start, when suddenly that thing that happens that disproves what they just said, it's like an emergency, like it's a blue screen of death and then Windows reboots. And then they just, you know, it was a restore. It was the last restore point. So they go right back to what they said before. It's funny because like I like now with Flat Earth and like the one of the podcasts that I was listening to, they were talking about, you know how these people always call themselves truthers, like because that's the only way they can validate these insane type of ideas, is by calling themselves truthers.
Truth's out there, Steve. I'm tired of you fucking doubting it, okay?
You red pilling it, dude? You red pilling it?
I'm sick of this. You know, might as well. Give up.
Well, it's like when somebody goes, what did you give up for Lent? In general, I just gave up.
There's this people. Oh, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Finish.
I was just saying that, like, you know, with like the 9/11 truthers and, you know, some of these, even anti-vaxxers, there was a simplicity to it. Like there's this concept, this construct. And I remember hearing this from a psychologist that said after 9/11, it was the reason that you have these people that are truthers that are saying, oh, 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, anti-vaxxers, you know, oh, these vaccines give you autism and stuff like that. They go, it's basically they're mentally incapable of handling of things happening in a vacuum, that there's the random chaos. And that they have to formulate something else because their mind can't comprehend something.
Everything has to make sense.
Right. Everything's the Marvel universe. It's all connected somehow. Right. You know, and it's like, it's not. Things happen in a vacuum. Like
I tell my kids, I tell my wife all the time, and they don't believe any of that hokum shit, but I go, the world, out of all versions of reality that human beings have written about, made video games about, made movies about, actual reality has one distinct characteristic. And they're like, what? No, it's fucking boring. compared to everything, like in, like you say, Marvel Universe. Oh, so the world, there's problems. What? This fucking galactic blue dude is going to come down and beat the shit out of everybody. On Earth, like, there's problems. It's global warming, you know.
Right.
It's important. It's going to heat up. Like, it's just every, it's not that it's not important. It's just boring.
Yeah.
Like, but these people, it's like September 11th, you know, and the whole, oh, it was an inside job. Like, technically, it was an inside job because they did it from inside the country. Yeah. But
and they got into an airplane and used the airplane. So technically, yes, it was an inside job.
The government was in on, like, that doesn't even make any sense. Well,
that's the whole thing. Like, I remember, and it's kind of funny because it's like 20 years ago this year, you know, with the 20th anniversary is going to be this year of 9/11. Yeah. And
you know, I celebrate it with a cake every year.
Yeah. I always have a party, you know, usually, you know, it's just like it's all night.
Good bigger. Fucking times, bro.
Yeah. It starts as a beer crawl, you know, bar crawl, you know.
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Everything starts.
All jokes aside, it should start as a beer crawl.
Yeah. I mean, it's every day starts as a beer crawl.
That's right. When you the lazy geeks, baby.
I drink to numb the pain. But the thing is like with that, you know, I remember hearing back in the day, oh yeah, yeah, Bush did this so he can invade Iraq, you know. It's like three-dimensional chess. And you're like, wait, weren't you the same people that said he was an idiot, he had C average grades, he couldn't put string two words together? He cannot be an idiot and then be a master, you know, be fucking exactly. Lex Luthor in the same sentence.
You can't have it both ways.
Right. Because you had the liberal the liberal side, which was like, oh, we can't string two words together to make a sentence, which in retrospect, he was a Nobel laureate compared to Trump. And at the same time you have the truthers who were more conservative, who were saying that it was all an inside, or libertarians, I guess I should say, who were right. Like, you know, oh, it's part of the industrial military complex, and he was doing this so he can invade Afghanistan, which was right next door to Iraq, and then he can go into Iraq. And it was just like going, dude, this isn't a game of Risk. Like,
just open up your fucking eyes, man, you know? And they always get so fucking, like, high-strung about it. And it's like, guys, you're high strung because you don't make any sense and your brain is doing intellectual fucking gymnastics to try to make any of your shit make any sense. And it still ain't working. Or you have people now, I don't even remember where I'm going. I'm serious. It's numbing my brain at this point. One thing, I think Bush got a bad rap. I don't like that whole, he doesn't speak or he stumbles on his words every once in a while, so he's a fucking idiot. It's like, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like, just because he's not a good speaker doesn't mean he is the president of the United States. He can't be a complete retard. A complete idiot. I apologize. I'm actually trying to stop saying that word because it is not, you know, can I say kosher still? It's not kosher. Yeah, fine.
Wow, after 10 years, you finally.
I don't know. It's not even. I actually we'll move on from Bush. Who cares? He's not even president anymore. I had a bit of not an epiphany, but I was thinking about. I was watching a video about you know, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. And it was somebody who was being a dick about it. You know, like you have to call people by – you have to – he was suggesting that you should just ask people what their pronouns are before you even speak to them. I'm like, I ain't got time for that, dude. I don't even want to speak to the person in general. You know, I don't want to have them fill out a fucking application before I talk to them. So I was thinking, like, you know, why – if I know that a particular word, which is a slur, right, hurts people's feelings in some way, or it's culturally not acceptable anymore, and I'm running off of fucking 20-year-old rules, why can't I just say, move the fuck on? It's not important, you know? And that was one word that came to mind. So I was like, well, I'll try not to say that anymore. Like, it's not even a big deal. You know what I mean?
Well,
that was my thought on it.
So it was that moment of clarity just after you ejaculated, you know, when your mind starts to like, when, you know, when,
I mean, I guess, I don't know.
You know, it's like when you think about calling up that chick, you know, you're like, oh, I really shouldn't. But, you know, I think, and then you just kind of rub one out and then you're just like, wow, that would have been a really bad idea.
That is all that run. Fuck that bitch.
Like, that would have been a really bad idea. Like, it's funny because when you and I were talking about it earlier was like these people that mostly white people that say, you know, that completely, why can't I say the N-word? And then it's like,
I don't know why people want to say the N-word so bad.
It's like, why do you need to say the N-word? Why do you need to say it? Like, what is it? Because you have black friends and you want to be able to, if you have really cool black friends, they'll let you say it. You know, but
like my whole, as a white person, since, you know, quote unquote white people get blamed for fucking everything, I don't want to say the N-word, not for some grand fucking stance of morality that everyone seems to always want to take online. Just because it's a nonsense word and it's a bullshit word, I just don't want to say it. I personally think no one should say it. But I also respect the fact that black people, if they want to say it, go right ahead. People, slurs get flipped all the time. Chicano, I was talking to Steve about this, but Chicano used to be a slur.
You forget who I was for a second.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to form my thoughts. This Chicano dude, I was talking to him. but that used to be a slur, and then they flipped it in the 60s, you know? And they have every right to do so. It is not my place to understand why they think it's okay. I'm allowed to have an opinion. My opinion means about dick, like most opinions.
Right. It
doesn't mean shit to anybody.
The only opinions that mean less are the ones that go online and scream at you for, you know, why you shouldn't say that word. It's like,
But I'm actually seeing the N-word is losing popularity a bit. With adults, not the younger crowd. The younger crowd say it all the time, but the even Hispanic younger people, I don't know why they thought they could say it. I hear that all the time.
I don't know. I think
it's a strange thing.
I think it depended on because, you know, people use Hispanic or Latinx, which is the dumbest fucking word ever.
Latinx. You know what Latinx really sounds like to me? Whitewashing of Spanish.
Yeah.
You can tell that Latinx was conceived by white people or Hispanics that don't speak Spanish in America. Right. Because if you speak Spanish or have ever heard Spanish, you would know that it's just – you can't change the whole – if you took away gendered I don't know exact term, but gendered words in Spanish, the whole language fell apart. It's built around it.
It is. It fundamentally is.
Right.
Well, like any deviation Latin. Of Latin. Yeah. You know, it's like even Italian would have a lot of trouble, you know.
Any Latin-based language, yeah. It's the northern languages that they don't give a fuck. We're very gender equal, okay? The English and German and shit.
Like I always said, it's like I'm not racist. I hate everyone. You know, it's so, like it's. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's like the like I always like that whole thing about that. And then you know, it's like I don't know who wrote that op-ed that said about you know Pepe Le Pew was instigating rape culture or
honestly,
something like that.
At this point, I think people are just trying to get on the bandwagon. I was explaining to a buddy of mine. This was about when companies make stands, and they said the whole Dr. Seuss thing, which is so blown out of fucking proportion. Okay,
Six books that nobody's ever heard of.
They took six. Well, I've heard of the first one because it's the first Dr. Seuss book, but they took these books down. Okay, and everyone freaks out. They're like, "Oh, cancel culture." This, that. First of all, the Dr. Seuss estate decided.
Yeah.
That they wanted to say they're allowed to do that. Second of all, it was their six lowest selling books. I wonder why, by the way.
Yeah.
It was mostly Asian. I think it was mostly Asian slurs. It wasn't
Asian,
slurs.
It was Asian. They looked negative depictions.
Yeah. There was something in talking about slant eyes and stuff like that. Yeah. Real, just stupid shit, you know, outdated concepts that were garbage back then. So they took the books away. No big deal. They fixed a problem. Good for them. That's different, though, from what I'm talking about. So I was talking about, like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like when a movie studio goes, oh, we're going to change the title of this because blah, 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 and fucking Black Lives Matter and this and that. It's like everyone goes, oh, yeah, that company's good, but this company didn't do that. You have to understand, no company on the face of the planet gives a fuck about any of you equally. Right. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, woman, man, doesn't matter. They care about dollar signs. They see the reason why all these companies are saying this nowadays is because it's a trend. They know they'll get positive press. End of fucking story.
Right.
And my friend was trying, I forget even what company, it was some video game company. And he was like, oh yeah, this company's about it. And I'm like, that company wants your money and they got their dick so far down your fucking throat right now. Now, should they be doing stuff like that? Of course they should. Right. But understand the motivation.
Yeah. It's not social. It's economic. Right. Yeah.
There's some small companies and there's some one-offs where like the CEO is just like, I've had enough. Like I get that.
Right.
But most of these large, even if there's good intentions behind it, the main reason is money.
Yeah.
Like if Google comes out tomorrow and says something about fucking Pepe Le Pew, fucking silly shit, or Warner Brothers. This makes more sense. If Warner Brothers says, oh, we're going to fucking take down some Pepe Le Pew cartoons or blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's already cut out of Space Jam 2.
I heard he was cut out of Space Jam 2 before this whole thing happened.
Yeah.
It was for something else.
Yeah.
But if they came out and said that, it's not because they give a fuck. It's because they think it's going to hurt their bottom line if they leave the character in there.
You don't think that this decision did not go under hours of testing? Like they didn't do study groups and you know have a bunch of lawyers going, well, we're protected if we do this. You know, it's like
exactly.
No, it's not like somebody goes, you know, let's do this, write up a blog, send it out. You know, it's like, oh, no, you have to do a lot of reviews. It was tested. It scored well. And, you know, all the upsides outweighed the downsides. So it was like, go for it. Do it.
I just think it's so funny. Like,
and then fucking Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez is, first of all, is Speedy Gonzalez a bad dude? Like, he was the shit.
Yeah, it's like he perpetuates Mexican stereotypes. It's like he's small, he's fast, he's cunning, he outwits everybody. I don't see the downside, you know?
It's not even that. It's like, and I told Steve, we were chatting about it, and I go, as a white kid growing up, I watched Looney Tunes, okay? I liked Speedy Gonzalez. Never once gave me a negative thought about – I don't even think I ever thought about Hispanic people when I was watching that cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's like I think a lot of some of it is people really underestimate children. They think children are stupid. Like, a cartoon isn't going to make a child fucking racist. Their racist-ass parents are going to make them racist.
That's the
and big... even that doesn't take half of the fucking
thing. It's actually quite funny when you start looking into this stuff. You know, everybody thinks like, oh, we gotta, you know, we can't have songs that have that, we can't have literature that has it, we can't have you know, movies that have that, you know, because it's going to give a negative stereotype. It's like, you know what actually purveys more than movies and music and stuff like that? It's the fucking parents. It's like, we the culture cannot teach the kid what he can teach, what he's taught on, and 24/7, you know,
right?
Because you can sit there and have the kid can watch CW shit all the time, you know, and it's all, you know, well balanced, all characters are equal, blah blah blah. But if he turns off the TV and you have his father and his mother talking negatively about other minorities, you know, disparaging remarks, he's gonna know that more than he's gonna know, you know, then his view of when he watches those shows are gonna change.
I'm a firm believer in, you know, barring a mental issue, like a medical issue, 99% of how a kid grows up is how the quality of parenting.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of people know that, but then a lot of people like to find those scapegoats.
Well, nobody
like,
wants
I'm not a shitty parent. It was because Marilyn Manson music was on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you didn't notice that your kid was making fucking pipe bombs? I guarantee you, I have 6 children. I would know if one of them was making fucking pipe bombs.
It is funny that with that. Yeah, because I've always said that before. It's like going, yeah, because nobody wants to take, you know, it's like, oh, well, rap music, you know, we need to ban rap music because we can't have our parents doing more jobs. And it's like going, the parents have one job. It's to raise a child.
Yeah. And it's really not hard. People always say it's so fucking difficult to raise a kid. Shut the fuck up. It's not difficult to raise a kid. It might be difficult for selfish motherfuckers who put themselves first.
Yeah.
But raising a kid is not hard. Financially, maybe. I get that. But the actual task of teaching a child not to be a piece of shit is not hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're, you know, 21, 22... you have a kid already, maybe 2.
Yeah. And maybe 3.
Or maybe 3. Yeah. And then you're still trying, you know, you're still trying to get your, you know, your freak on. It's like, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. You know, and that's not like, and that goes both ways. Some people say, look, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a negative on women. It's like, no, because guys can do that too. If a guy has 3 kids and he's still trying, you're going to tell me that him playing those games that you play in your mid 20s aren't going to rub off on his kids that are watching it? Because then the dad's going to be like, I'm a gangster, man. Yeah, you know, that's how you treat women, you know? They like
it. Normalizes
it. Yeah. Then you think, like, how did you grow up to be such a piece of shit? Well, that's what my dad said. This is how you did it. It's like, yeah, because you grew up in that piece of shit. Or you don't have. You don't have either a mother or a father, so you find it through somebody else who instills that negative stereotype into your life.
I think a lot of it's communication. Parents, there's a lot of parents, and by the way, I have children. I don't want to fucking hear every time. There's been times I tell them, like, well, when you have kids, fuck you. I have more kids than you. Guarantee it. The thing with kids, and I'm not a perfect parent, but the thing with kids is communication. And I know that sounds corny, but past setting rules and past yelling at them and past giving a smack on the ass and rules and structure, the most important thing is just going, hey, how's it going? I talk to all my kids like they're human beings. I walk up to them. I go, hey, how's it going? What happened at school today? You know, what do you do? I don't have that. You know how you always see on TV that teenager that won't talk to you?
Yeah.
Never fucking experienced it because I constantly talk to my kids and I don't talk down to them. Like they're little babies and shit. I talk to them like they're people.
Well, I always, you know, I've always got this way. And I got into some arguments with friends of mine who were like, you know, telling a kid they're doing something wrong, but not giving them a reason as to why it's wrong.
It's a waste of time.
Well, is just as wrong as them doing it without not listening to you. It's like to tell someone, oh, don't do that. Why? You just don't. It's bad. well, what's context? Because, you know, as a society, we take everything out of context anyway. So
don't do that because I said so.
Right. Like, what? It's like that's not a valid reason. You have to actually provide context.
Because that ends up turning into a response of, well, fuck you. I don't care if you said so.
Yeah. And so it's like, no, you have to have a conversation with them to tell them why it's bad. Why it may be uncomfortable for you, but you know what? Not everything is. You know, also sometimes you got to take it in the ass. It's uncomfortable, but you do it anyway.
Also, too, a lot of parents I've seen, and I see this because I go to the school and I see other parents and stuff, don't only communicate with your kids when they fuck up. Like, there's this thing, and I've jokingly said it, where it's like, you know, you're not, you know, you're doing well if I'm not bugging you. It's like, you also need to tell them they're doing good, they're on the right track. You know, and stuff like that, because these kids don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No.
And kids are idiots. Not on purpose, but they're just not around. They haven't been around that long. You know, you got to help them out. I don't get it, man. And I'm pretty strict on my kids. Steve knows. I don't put up a fucking attitude. I don't put up a bullshit in my house.
I mean, to be honest, you know, when you have the blade fight with your son, it's like, I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but I know, I get what you're coming from.
Listen, he'll bring honor to the family, okay? I don't have time. No. And the funny thing is,
I just made these bat lefts, so next time works up, it's going to be on.
I don't hit my kids. Now, I'm not against hitting kids. Like, if you,
I understand it.
if you have a kid who needs a smack on the ass, and smack on the ass. I mean, don't beat your kid, but there's a difference. That's, everybody knows the fucking difference.
That's something that's always got me. It's like, well, you shouldn't hit your kid. It's like, yeah, you should. You should be able to, like, smack him on the ass. But, you know, if you're unloading a week's worth of tension onto your kid, I think you have some issues.
That's the difference. And I learned that very early on, where my 6-year-old at the time, and I was early 20s, she pissed me off, and I went to spank her because I was a young parent. I'm trying to figure it out, and I whacked the ever-loving shit out of her, like, one time, but because I was angry.
Right.
And that was the last time I ever did that. It's like, you can't. If you're spanking a kid or you're smacking them on the hand, it's to instruct, not to punish. You're not trying to beat the shit out of your kids. And a lot of parents do that. Yeah. A lot of parents take their – and then those kids grow up to beat the shit out of everybody else.
Right.
You know, and it's all context, just like you said. Like, if I – when my kids were younger – because when they're younger, I feel like a smack on the ass is sometimes necessary, because these parents want to have full conversations with a 2-year-old.
Right.
You know, it's not – you're wasting your fucking time. You still need to tell them, like, don't do that.
It's like arguing with a drunk. It's like,
right.
you're gonna say stuff to them. They're gonna say shit to you, and then 2 minutes down the line, they're gonna forget everything that just happened.
I don't know. I don't know why this became a fucking parenting podcast all of a sudden, but
they're truly pointless parent podcast.
Jesus, imagine. You know what's another thing that bothers me about other parents?
I was like, what grinds your gears?
Baby talk. I feel, one, it's annoying, and two, my wife and I have always been in sync on this. We don't baby talk. It doesn't matter how old they were. We won't do it, because it's like, that's not how people are going to talk to them. So why are we talking to them like that? It makes no sense.
Well,
like,
I mean,
used to.
If you're doing it to a kid, that's one thing. But if you're doing it to a 12-year-old, yeah, that's going to look a little weird.
My kids, when they were like one, I'd come in. What's up, guys? Seriously, I've always spoken to my kids like they're just people. I never you fucking shut the, I hate that.
I spoke
sound,
to them.
Sound stupid.
I speak
you see
to
how
them
I
like,
got myself into
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah. It's like, I speak to them like adults. The fuck you doing?
Yeah. Well, I did in the beginning, and that needed to be toned down, but
yeah, when they started breaking the beer bottle glasses on the table and, like, standing up against you, I think things kinda changed.
I'm starting to get old enough to have words of wisdom, okay? And one of them, and I recently told my son this over the phone, because he's in California at his grandmother's house, right down the street from Steve's house, actually. And I told him, I said, every bad thing that any person has ever done or could do or will do or whatever is rooted in selfishness. Because if you're not selfish, you won't do bad things to other people. Because you have empathy, and then you can't. you can't do bad things to other people. He said anytime someone does something shitty, it's because they put themselves above everybody else.
Son, I need to tell you, every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn.
I can't quote from the gospel every day.
Just like every cowboy sings his sad, sad song.
And the reason I said this, bitch, is because a lot of that's with parenting. You have these parents out here, and I knew when it Chase, when I was working at Chase, like, oh, my fuck yeah, I want to go out. I got to stay home with my kid. It's like, great. Now you're going to take that negativity because you'd rather be a fucking thought than actually take care of this human being who never asked to be here in the first place.
You realize you being a thought is why you have that kid, right?
Exactly. Like, learn something. You know, it's like, fuck, man. I feel bad. Like, my, I'm going to be a little quiet because I don't want my kid to hear, but my middle kid, well, middle if I didn't have twins, but she's 13. She has a friend. And the kid's fine. I mean, a little rough around the edges, but she's fine. Her parents are both potheads. Let me make it perfectly clear. You can be a fully functioning and great adult while you smoke weed, but these are the stereotypical potheads. They're not very productive and they're zoned out all the fucking time. They're going through a divorce. Okay. The dad is the better one. He cares for the kids. Not the brightest bulb in the fucking bunch, but he cares for the kids. The mother would rather buy weed than food.
Oh.
And I told my – and she also won't let the dad around much because she's pissed off about the relationship stuff. So I told my wife, I said, that's even worse than a heroin addict. She goes, why? Why would that be worse? I said, because heroin rewrites the brain to only care about heroin. Weed doesn't do that. She made a conscious choice to ignore her children. I said, it's fucking horrible. And why? Because she's a selfish twat. That's why. And that was why I was talking to my son about this, because he brought it up. And I said, she's selfish. She thinks she's more important than her children. If you ever think you're the most important person in the room, you're a piece of shit. Unless you're in the room by yourself. Or,
well, you know, you could still like be that. You could still be the piece
right.
of shit.
You could still be a piece of shit. But it's like I've always put other people before me. Always. That's how I was taught, and it's never steered me wrong. You also don't be a doormat and all that bullshit.
Right.
But you have to care for others more than you care for yourself, or you're going to be a miserable piece of shit and nobody's going to like you. So that's my word of wisdom, kids. I want you all to learn from my – not mistakes, because I've always been this way. Fuck it, what's up?
Yeah,
curse at your kids a lot when they're young. That would be my biggest mistake. I came coming in on a 3-year-old and go, what the fuck are you doing? That's probably not the best way to go about it.
When you get slapped in the face in the morning, it's like, what the fuck up? And it's your 6-year-old going, what the fuck up, you asshole?
Well, that was one mistake. I wouldn't say mistake, but a style that I got raised in that I kind of smoothed out. When I was a kid, I was told, like, what are you, a moron? Like, why are you being stupid? Like, that kind of shit. And it didn't fuck me up.
So you were raised by Howard Stern's dad.
Right. and to me, it's a very East Coast way of coming up. But
shut up, sit down.
My wife was like, you know, you're going to give the kids, they're going to think they're dumb or something. And at first I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. I'm telling them they're being dumb in the moment. I'm not saying they're a moron forever. But then I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a better way. Maybe I don't have to tell them they're an idiot. Maybe I can be like, hey, what are you doing wrong here? Other than being an idiot. But I don't know.
You turned into Ving Rhames in Crybaby, right?
Or yeah, Baby Boy. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Choke the fucker out.
I don't fucking blame.
You come into a room, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin
it. The image of the style that you used to. Yeah, it's gotta look fun. Yo, I'm making money. See,
I love that
song.
You know what? You can take any lyric and make it into, like, you know, some
just
kind
like
of
you're
a,
talking.
Yeah, into
I
some
once
kind
got
of,
busy in a Burger King bathroom. That's my favorite line. When my wife gets mad because if that song's on the radio, I'm kind of lightly singing to it. But when the Burger King bathroom park, I say it really loud. And it doesn't matter if the windows are down. I go, I once got busy in the Burger King bathroom. She's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I drink up all the Hennessy you got on the shelf.
The Humpty Dance. What happened to fun music?
I know.
Right? Everything's so serious. Why so serious?
Why so serious?
I look funny, but y'all make money, see? Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Oh God. Dude, you know another one that was a fun song was the Montel Jordan one. This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. When I was a lowercase G. Jesus Christ. That's a banger, dude. That's a song everyone bobs their head to.
I usually with mixed company, sometimes someone says, well, yeah, I was doing that since I was a lowercase G. And there'd always be somebody going, oh, this is how we do it.
It's always that one dude who's hit. They know what's up, dude. Yeah. And everyone else, all the young people are like, what are you talking about? Lowercase what? Oh my God, my fucking daughter, Ava, though, she's fully ingrained in her pop culture. Because my other kids don't do this, but she speaks in memes.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have to tell her, you're not with your friends. Going to choke you. Like, it's getting annoying. And I understand, I'm on the internet all the time. I know what she's saying. Right. I know all the fucking memes and the fucking bullshit. But it's incoherent. Like, it makes my head hurt because there's no complete thoughts. Like, she'll come in and be like, clothes on deck, drippy. And I'm like, I'm gonna, what? it's like a crackhead. It's like a baby was a crackhead and then learned how to speak.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, you need to stop. And then when I remind her, she stops, and then she's very well spoken. I mean, she does write.
Just tell her all the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. I mean, that's all you need to do.
Hey, about to get your groove off. Why don't you tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hear the party say. Do we need to do that? You just do dramatic readings of fucking songs. Awesome. Like, we're William Shatner in this motherfucker, bro.
But you gotta do it of like the 90s, like the 90s songs. Like the
yeah. Oh my. I was listening to music in the car. I was doing a lot of driving on Friday.
Did you say I was doing a lot of drugs on Friday?
Is that true? No, on Friday, I wake up like 2 hours before I have to go to work because I don't have to be to work till 9. And my wife woke up super late. Bless her heart. She usually doesn't for work. And she's panicking because she drives a school bus. And she's freaking out. And I go, well, I'll take you to work and then I'll come back and I'll get the kids and I'll take them to school and then, you know, I'll do everything. And then I'll go to work because I'm the shit. And I dropped the kids off.
Because my name is Humpty.
I dropped the kids off and I put some music on. I just put on a random playlist. And fucking Tupac came out. I won't deny it. I'm a fucking ride. And I was about to change it. Just because I've heard the song a million times, but I don't, that beat when it goes doom, 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 just hit me some kind of way and I turned it all the way the fuck up. Bro. I'm a 36-year-old father of six in a minivan bumping Tupac and the windows were down and I didn't give a fuck, bro. People were looking at me with smiling like, yeah, this motherfucker, that's right. Don't let this minivan fool you. I am about that life, no. But yeah, it was good times. My wife worked all weekend. They're working her like a mutt.
Was she doing at school on the weekend in the office?
So here's the thing, yeah. So here's the thing. I guess being a bus driver wasn't enough. So my wife is also an office assistant. So she drives the bus, then stays in the office, and then drives the bus and then leaves. Now that's kind of cool because she gets paid a lot more and she's working full time and way more than a bus driver would make. So fine, cool. But then they're like, oh, can you also organize this and that and do the fucking bulletin boards and shit? Okay, cool. So now she's doing that. Oh, these computers, the Chromebooks are all broken. Doesn't your husband know how to do that? Can you ask him if he can come in and help? Ask husband. Husband, who is me in this story, says, how much are they paying me? I don't work for free. America. Okay? So they pay
as the,
me.
As the American flag draped behind you and the bald eagle right. landed on your shoulder.
She actually thought I was going to go there for free to help out. I'm like, no. I don't work for free.
Have you shouldn't either. Have you met me?
Yeah, right. So they pay me like a couple hundred bucks. You know, whatever. We don't need to discuss it. But they pay me, okay? And then now, because I taught her how to fix the computers, and she figured out some stuff on her own too online. It was pretty impressive. She now fixes computers for not only her school, but the other school.
Jesus,
for and free? I told her, I go,
see, that's too much.
I go, Lorena, they're not having you do this because you're the only one that can do it. They're having you do this because they're taking advantage of you. I said, and now she worked last weekend. Granted, this job doesn't give her vacation time or whatever. It just never does. It's technically a bus driver. Of course, the office assistant N does, but she's not classified as an office assistant. She's classified as a bus driver, the one that gets no fucking benefits, right. Of course. So they let her go on a week vacation, and they paid her for it. It was very nice. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. She says, that's why I'm working this weekend because, you know, scratch your back, I'll scratch this kind of shit. And I'm like, all right, fine. But it can't be forever. I said, they're going to ask you to do it next weekend and next weekend and next weekend. You have to know when to go, no, I'm
or
done.
Say you're busy.
Right. I'm doing things. What? Anything but being here. That's what I'm doing. It's out of your mind. And I'm over here mad because I couldn't work overtime because I'm still in training.
All right. Yeah, what are you going to do? I can do some overtime training, you know.
And I told her and I said, the sad thing is, and the thing that pisses me off, she's going to work over 60 hours this week. And I'm still going to make more money than she does. Like, it's not fair. You know what I mean? I'm like, you need to stop.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But then she's nervous about because we're moving and she wants to make sure we have all the monies. But last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, my last story of the evening for this podcast anyway. I have a pension that I didn't know about. So my previous employer, I will not say who it is since this is a negative story. I asked them before I left. Now, I didn't get fired. I left to go to a better opportunity. At the time, I said, hey, don't I have a pension? And they go, no, you haven't worked here long enough. And I go, are you sure? I'm pretty sure I have a pension.
Yeah. Cause when Adam told me this, I was like, how long were you there? You're like what? 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, you usually get one after the first year.
Now, my problem is all this fucking 401k and pension shit was kind of new to me. Because I hadn't been working in offices that long. You know, I used to work in factories. I think you get a fucking pension when you work in a factory. So, like if you get fucking health care, like if you get water in between breaks.
You ain't gonna use the bathroom.
So they go, no, you're confusing it with your 401k. So I took that as, okay, well, whatever. So I just moved on. Get a letter in the mail a couple days ago. Now, Steve already knows this. Get a letter in the mail a couple days ago. And I got fucking a pension. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I read the letter. I find out I can cash it out. Cool. And I'm like, shit. I was talking to another. He's like, well, maybe you should keep it for retirement. I'm like, it's not enough. It's only 4 years worth of a fucking pension.
What and it's not do? Like it's going to grow any, you know.
Right. I said, that'd be different. If it was growing, fine. But it ain't growing.
Like this day.
So I go to cash it out. I go to the site and I go through the whole steps. Bada, bada, bada. It's going to take taxes are no joke. Okay. I mean, the tax cut on it is going to be about $1,100 and it's not even that much. I was like, Jesus, but it is what it is. So it tells me, oh, you're married. You're going to need your wife to fill out a spousal waiver form.
Then you reply, oh, wait, I forgot she did.
Right. Because technically, since I am married and it's a pension, she's entitled to said pension as well.
Do you have the fuck off form that I can fill out here?
I print out the form and my wife comes home and I tell her, oh, look, about to have some money, catch up on some bills a little bit, and get my car fixed. I just need you to fill out this form. She goes, what is it? I said, it's a spousal waiver form. It basically says you don't want the pension. And she says, well, maybe I do want the pension. I'm like, don't you fucking. I said, you understand. If you don't sign the form, you're going to have to wait until I'm 71 before you get the damn pension. So,
and I guarantee one of us ain't going to make it till we're 71.
And she goes, I'm pretty patient, Adam. Like, she's just giving me shit. But she it sucks that she had to get it notarized too, but she got it done today. So I just need to scan it, upload it, and then they will direct deposit my pension that I didn't know. Like, I love free money. When you don't know you had it, like, I earned it.
I would love free money more when the government doesn't get a little cut.
Bro, Uncle Sam, stay fucking dude, icy, bro. They're like, all our money.
They're like the fucking mob, dude. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, government needs its cut first. It's like, what's this, a shakedown? Like, what the fuck?
The IRS is the most successful and scary bill collector I've ever fucking dealt with.
Like, you know, your car gets repoed or something like that. You don't give a fuck about these people, you know. But the IRS come calling, you're like, oh, shit. Like, you're sitting there thinking about, like, well, maybe if I run off to Puerto Rico, they won't be able to get me, you know.
See, I'm one of those people that when a bill collector calls, I don't answer.
Yeah,
I'll look it up and then I'll call on my own fucking time. Not that a lot of bill collectors call me nowadays, but still, if the IRS calls, I'm running to the phone to answer. I'm gonna be real nice. Hello, how you doing? How's your kids doing? How your mama doing? You know, all that, because the IRS can take everything from you. They have way too much fucking power. It's ridiculous.
One of the this when I was living up north, I was working for this naturalizer woman shoe store.
Yeah.
And
Al Bundy out here.
And the guy that owned it, he was saying that he would get audited like once every 2 years. Always got audited. And I was like, well, you're a business owner. He goes, yeah. He goes, my income fluctuates. He goes, but he goes, the way around an audit, if you look like you have everything, 9 times out of 10, they're not even going to look at it. If you like look like there's no mistake, you got everything, you got all your receipts, you got all that stuff, they'll look at them like, oh, okay. And then, like, you're done. He goes, but if you look lost, he goes, that's where they rake you over the coals.
If you're fumbling through forms, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. He goes, then good luck. Goes, that's when they got you. He goes, but if you look like you know what you're doing, he goes, they'll be like, oh, okay, you're done.
Bro, I'm not even a business owner. I'm just some schlub with kids and a wife, okay? I'm a regular dude. I have taxes going back 10 years in a folder, perfectly fucking organized. I have the W-2s that went with them. I have all of it. If I get audited, I have one folder here. It's alphabetized. I don't fucking play, dude. The IRS is terrifying. The only bill collector can throw you in fucking prison.
Yeah,
like, it's ridiculous. I don't fuck with them. I had a run with them back in the day because I got audited. I've been audited before. You want to know when? I was audited the first time I filed taxes. Ain't that a bitch?
What the fuck?
Ain't that a fucking? Well, the first time I was an adult and filed taxes.
Oh wow.
Audited. I was like 18. Snot nose. Motherfucker.
Why? Like what?
They just said it was random because they randomly audit people too. They just pick people out of a hat. So I had people from the IRS contacting me. I'm 18. I think I pissed myself several fucking times. And it's so funny because it's my grandfather at the time. I go, I'm real nervous. He's like, what happened? He's real caring. So I'm like, I got audited. The IRS is going to call me. He goes, ooh, shit, you on your own. He fucking laughed at me. He said, I ain't fucking with the IRS. He goes, no, you good on that? I was like, oh, shit. I'll die.
I'll be there for emotional support in the Cayman Islands, motherfucker. I'm going to get far away
there
from
you. He wasn't there. I was on an island myself. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was so nervous.